right into the Word. The other day I was praying, and the Lord just really impressed me about the hour we're living in and how that we need to gather the children even more. That children today are suffering like never before. They don't understand viruses and isolation. They don't understand all the things happening in the world. And I want to talk about children tonight and Sunday. And I want to start with Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. Now, this is a real interesting story here. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't leave out some of the mistakes the disciples made? This is one of their biggest mistakes. How many know sometimes disciples do make mistakes? But this is one of their biggest ones. This was one for the record, so to speak. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Oh, that wasn't very good. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Lord, bless your word tonight in Jesus' name. Wow, what a story and what a statement here Jesus made. He was much displeased. He just didn't say, oh guys, you missed it, let's go have lunch. He was very displeased. And I want you to notice the demeanor and the disposition of the disciples. They rebuked the parents. Like, what do you think you're doing bringing your kids to Jesus? Interesting here. I wrote three things down that the disciples probably were thinking these thoughts that led them to say this. Number one, they thought Jesus was not that interested in children. They must have thought that. Because if they would have thought he was really interested in children, they would have had a different outcome. The second thing, they thought the children were wasting his time. Listen, don't waste the master's time. You know, he's got bigger things than you little ones. The third thing, they thought that the parents should have known better. But I want to tell you this, those parents were spot on. To bring children to God is the primary priority of all parents. Not to make them famous, successful, although we have to provide their needs. The first priority of a parent is to bring a little child to God. Now, as easy as that seems, and as easy as I've said that, it is most difficult because we live in a world that's anti-Christ, and we have filled children with stories and things that we said were true, but were not true. I have no problem if you want to tell your child about Santa Claus, but you need to tell your child it's a story and it's not true. Because when you go to tell the child about Jesus and the resurrection, a child says, well, how do I know that's true too? So I believe that they were right on. You know, I've learned this. Sometimes you can be right on with God and still have opposition. They weren't thinking clearly. Now, he said about receiving the kingdom, you must be like a child. I put four things down here that I believe cause us to be part of that disposition of character. Children, number one, children are dependent. Hello. That's why in your taxes, they're a dependent, right? They're depending on you. Children, by nature, they are dependent. They come into this world, they depend on you. And so a child and a person must understand, I'll never enter the kingdom unless I'm totally dependent upon God. Second thing a child is humble. Children aren't proud until they get to a certain age where they start learning behaviors of pride from others, adults. The third thing is children, they're always searching. They're trying to understand. They're inquisitive. Why is this? What is this, you see? Fourth thing, children are teachable. These are qualities that Jesus said, unless I have these, I'm not going to even want to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, every child, number one, has a purpose. There is no child that has been ever born on this earth without the purpose of God. God gives and assigns a purpose the moment the sperm and the egg come together, actually before that. Every child has a purpose. There are no unwanted children. There are no unwanted pregnancies. God has a purpose for every child. Number two, God has a plan for every child. Not only is the purpose to know God and be godly, to be saved, but the plan, there's a plan of a course of action for that child's life. The third thing, there's a process that the child must go through to grow and develop and be ready. And then the fourth thing, there's a placement where God wants to place that child. God wants to place the child in His will to accomplish His purpose and be part of His work on the earth. Amen. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Isn't it interesting here? God raised up Jeremiah from a child. Let me tell you something. God raised you up from a child too. God was looking at your life from a child. God knew where to place you, who to place you with. And even if it was difficult situations, and even if you only had one parent or no parents, or maybe you were adoptive, God has a plan for you and I. He said, before I formed you, I knew. Every little child that comes in, every baby, God says, I know who that is. I have a plan for that child. Listen, when Pharaoh had every child under two killed, it was the spirit of Satan. Herod had every child two and under killed, the spirit of Satan. Why? In the first one, in Pharaoh, Satan knew a deliverer was coming. On the second one, Satan knew the Savior was coming. Why do you think there is such attack on children? Child pornography, sex, taking them and putting them and oppressing them. Why do you think it's happening? Because Satan knows he's coming again. And his job is to stop another generation, because we all not getting no younger. God needs the energy of youth to bring the harvest in. There's many people that used to be part of the kingdom that are just kind of spiritually retired. So God has to raise up another generation. And He starts with children, because they're going to carry on the kingdom of God. The devil hates children. The devil hates little innocent children. And I can't think of anything more wicked than to hurt children. I can't think of anything more wicked than the sex crimes against children. It's the most wicked thing there is. And God's wrath will come one day and burn that wickedness up. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, Paul said, against all ungodliness. I want to tell you, earth, world, get ready for a shaking. God is not mocked. God will not be silent where there's wickedness, where there is corruption. God said, I will repay. Give God a shout if you believe that. The church is the only answer for children to come. The school can only give secular knowledge. Listen, as good as they are, the house of God is where we take little ones and connect them to God Almighty. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I love this verse. Interesting word, train. It really has the application in the Hebrew of like you going forth and leading that child. Five things about training a child. Number one, the biggest one is example. I said is example. How many children's lives have been destroyed because the mom and dad would not come to Christ, or they would not reconcile. They would not stop arguing. They would not stop yelling in the home. There's no example there. No, we're not perfect. We have our moments. But when a child begins to grow, they realize that the mom's controlling or the father's controlling. They begin to realize that, wow, I thought this was about love. Their tender hearts can't understand why half the time mom and dad are together, they're arguing. They can't understand at their age why won't somebody just die in the marriage and cause Christ to come forth. Example is greater than anything I can say. Follow me, Paul said, as they follow Christ. Be thou an example of the believers. You know, it's a lot easier to tell other believers how spiritual we are. It's a lot easier to tell, quote, scripture than to be the example. I found out being the example, you talk less, you do more, and you show more. Second thing, training up a child is consistency. Can't be one thing at church and another thing at home. Kids are very perceptive, honey. Having raised three boys in the church, my wife and I were very delicate how we treated each other in the home. And at times, if I was upset with her or her upset with me, we waited until the kids were gone and talked it out. But you got to be very delicate if they see an inconsistency. And sure, they're going to, but I'm talking about a consistent inconsistency. Then they begin to form an opinion about God and church and like, well, what's the point? Third thing, we train a child up by the atmosphere we raise him in. What type of atmosphere is in my home? What type of atmosphere is in my marriage? What type of atmosphere is in the church? Our church is like the disciples. Well, we'll throw a little bone over there to the children, but it's really about us. Super saints here. I need another prophecy. I want my healing ministry. Well, how about those little precious souls that we can't find a teacher for? God is trying to give us an understanding here tonight that they are precious in His sight, those little ones. Fourth thing, we train them by the Word of God, that the Word of God has final say. The Word of God has final say over culture, society, my opinion, Aunt Jones and Uncle Bill's opinion. The Word of God has final say. Thank God for the faith movement. Thank God for Dr. Fred Price, who had a faith program every week. He just passed away, went to glory. I saw him in Hampton, mighty man of God. Thank God for the word of faith. Children need it. The fifth thing, we train up a child by showing forgiveness. There is no love without forgiveness. We cannot show God's love if I take 2 weeks to get over a hurt. We cannot. A child has to learn. Mom and dad forgive each other. Dad asks forgiveness. I've gone to my children, especially when they're younger, and I missed it. I'd sit them all down in the living room. You know, I want you to forgive me. I shouldn't. That was too strong. I've apologized to my... I should not have said that. And you know, sometimes as men, we want the wives to set the pace. Not so, sir. You're the spiritual priest. If anyone is to repent or ask forgiveness, and I'm not talking about asking forgiveness if you didn't do anything wrong, but when you know it's you, don't wait around. Say, you know, I missed it, man. Tell your kids, I missed it. I missed this. I missed it. Because that's how you train a child. You know, man, I've seen programs and movies, so I'm never going to forgive that person. I go, yikes. Well, you can't go to heaven then. You can't be forgiven. I said, you can't be forgiven. Doesn't mean you agree what the person did. If Jesus can say, Father, forgive him, so can we. Psalm 127:3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Another translation says they are God's gifts. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. How about that? Why are they speaking with the enemies in the gates? Because we have spiritually retired from fighting the enemy in the gates. David's problem... When the kings went out to fight in spring, David stayed home. It wasn't time for you to retire, David. You hadn't raised up Amnon and Absalom to properly take your position in the gates. They weren't in the gates, David, where they should have been. They were out. Absalom was out, you know, with a campaign building his own statue. You see, we got to realize we're in a battle till we go to heaven. God says, don't think that I just raised you up to fight the battle. I raised up your seed to help in that battle. That's why we need the church. That's why we need a house of God. That's why we need a program for the children and youth. And God's going to do that this year in a great way. Let me tell you four things about the child Samuel. And I'm going to pick this up on Sunday. We're going to continue this. Four things about the child Samuel. You all know that Hannah was barren, Samuel was born, and she promised the Lord, Lord, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him to you. How many know, Mom? That's the greatest thing you can say to God. God, you give me this child, but I'm giving him back to you because he's your child. Just like Abraham. He said, God, you gave me Isaac, but I'm giving them back to you. And look what God did. You see, God didn't give us children for us to worship them. God didn't give us children to put them first and God second. And a lot of parents are doing that. They're almost, I adore my child. Well, adoration is a kind of a worship. How about you love your child? Adoration goes to God only. Hello. That doesn't mean they're not precious. And I see in America where God is somewhere down in the family, but something other than God is first, and it's called counterfeit gods. God wants us to love our children, and they're precious, but not at the expense of leaving him out. It will cause a godless society. It will cause young people to have no fear of God before their eyes. Four things about Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. He was a child. ministering before the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I remember the many times I went to Africa. We'd have 2 and 3 hour worship services before we even got to the preaching. But the little kids dancing, I mean, hundreds. Over in India, the little children. You go over there and you come back to America and it's like, my goodness, God, are we backslidden in our churches in America? And I know you have to watch out to the comparison. But if you ever go over there and you see it, you're like, huh? What? Kids running up to the altar, running up to the tent, little kids dancing with all they've got is a drum and a tambourine, and you just stand there, and it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. They don't have what we have in America, but we don't have what they have either in the Spirit. Second thing, 1 Samuel 2:21, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. That's why we have outreaches to the children. That's what they want them to grow. We might have games and balloons and ice cream, but somewhere in between, we're putting some spiritual food for them to grow. I hear testimonies all the time, especially a lot of preachers that God has raised up. They say, you know what, I remember this teacher in Sunday school, what they said to me. And I wasn't even paying attention, but I did remember this, what they said, I never forgot it. Another scripture, 1 Samuel 2:26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Parents, don't you want the favor of God on your child? I can't think of anything greater than that. And we have an opportunity, we have the facilities to touch thousands of young children which will go into adulthood, that God's favor will be upon them. One more, 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. We're going to talk about that Sunday. If you would like to read 1 Samuel chapter 3 before Sunday. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is almost on parallel where we are today spiritually in most of the body of Christ, most of the world. You'll find out that Eli represents the old ways of doing things, that he doesn't care anymore about spiritual things. You'll find out that the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was stolen. The candle, the air of the lamp of the Lord, went out. In other words, the church was no longer relevant anymore. Society had pushed it down and mocked it. It's so much a parallel what's happening. But God raised up a child named Samuel that changed the whole course of Israel's history. So if you get a chance, read that along with Ecclesiastes. But Jesus said, disciples, don't forget this lesson. You've cast out devils with me. You've healed the sick. But you see these little children? Don't ever think your spirituality and your ministry and your anointing is more important than that child's purpose. I gave you that to be part of something that can raise up a child. Because if you read in the book of Judges, one of the last verses, it said there arose another generation that knew not the Lord nor his mighty works. And we are living in that time. Well, there's a generation coming up, they know nothing about God's work. They know nothing about you being touched in 1980. They know nothing about your prophecies or being slain in the Spirit. They know nothing about miracles God's did. And so church and God's just another thing to them. It's our job. We've got a work to do. I said, we've got work to do. This thing just ain't going to happen. It's going to take a deliberate choice and understanding. And that's why we're doing the ministry training, because everyone needs to be in their place, growing in their anointing. Let God promote them. Let God do things in their life this year, because time's running out. I said, time's running out. Time's running out for this world. Time's running out for our nation. Time is running out when Jesus Christ is going to come back. Work while it's day, for nighttime comes and no man will work. Paul said that. He said, the night, the day is far spent, the night's at hand. Put on the armor of righteousness. So the disciples learned a lesson that day. The church not only must encamp around the things God's doing with me, that I must have desire to reach these children. Children are often victims of domestic abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Many are raised, don't know their father, don't know their mother. Well, you know what I say to that? Lord, bring them here. I'll be a father to them. Would you be a father to them? Would you be a mother to them? We'll help them through the circumstances they had no choice in. Innocent, vulnerable. But God has a safe haven here. I encourage you to read 1 Samuel 3 before Sunday. Let God speak to you. I encourage you to be part of the ministry training. It's not just so we can learn to preach. It's so we can learn to reach. Learn to reach like Jesus did. Because the pattern for fruitfulness is still looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What are we going to do? We're going to suffer the little children to come unto us. And we're not only going to have an atmosphere of worship and glory. We're not only going to have an atmosphere of the word being preached. We're going to have an atmosphere that children sense the presence of the mighty one of Israel, the one that humbled himself and became a child and had to grow up and had to be a teenager. The next generation is looking for something. They have a world view. It's not God's view. Who are they going to look to? They don't want to look anymore to inconsistency or division. They don't want to look to one day up, one day down. Oh, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about a consistency called love. That the love of God is the only thing that can keep you and I consistent. There's nothing else. Even quoting scriptures, the devil knows the scripture. He quoted it to Jesus that one day he fasted for 40 days. Pharisees know the scriptures. Love is a thing that keeps you and I dependent, humble, searching, and teachable. The church at Ephesus lost their first love. Yet they had the great epistle that Paul wrote to them. The church in Laodicea had money, fame, open doors, and they became lukewarm. Now, do you think for a moment that when that happened, that children were a priority anymore? No. We talk about being on fire for God, but I must be careful that my personal fire is not an all-inclusive project of mine, but rather the fire is for others to be warmed. Children do not like cold. In Pennsylvania, my three boys, man, I had to buy winter coats, scarves, and gloves. Man, I would just go out there, Dad, how come you're not cold? But children feel the cold real quick. And the atmosphere in the church must never be cold or lukewarm or indifferent. They must have the warmth of Christ, that we love everybody. We don't put on masks. We ain't playing games. We ain't playing church. My personal identity can only be found in the corporate purpose of God. In Christ, no one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. How marvelous is the body of Christ. Suffer the little children to come unto me, Jesus said. Don't forbid them. Don't forbid him by not being concerned. Don't forbid him by being more excited about your place than theirs. Remember Art Linkletter said, program the kids, say the darndest things. Some of you, it's way before. It's black and white television, so some of you, But these kids would say some things. I love children. I have three boys. I wish I would have had three girls. But after the third one, Debbie said, that's it. Holding hands. Okay, got it. My parents had seven children. Seven. And a different day. But my parents were consistent. They didn't know Christ as they should have, but they were consistent in some of the areas. Let's be a father to the fatherless. Let's be a mother to the mother. Let's be a church where the single mom or divorced dad can bring their child and feel no shame, but feel the love of Christ. If you're watching tonight, I want you to know God loves you. It doesn't matter about your situation right now. Maybe you had a good home, maybe not. God still has a plan for you. Please join us this Sunday at 10:30 at the Rock Church of Petersburg. And we're going to talk about Samuel. And you're going to find out that his life is so parallel to what's happening today. It really will encourage you that God speaks even when those he used before are not hearing. You'll be blessed. God bless you tonight.